Hey guys, it's your host, Andrea. I have a question for you. How frustrating is it that you have to pay your hard-earned money to see? Personally, I've been wearing corrective lenses since the fourth grade, and the cost has really added up over the years. If you're like me and actually value your dollar, then check out iBuyDirect.com. iBuyDirect has many styles and affordable frames that fit your unique personality. Need specialty lenses like blue light filtering? No problem. iBuyDirect provides many options for customization like bifocals, progressives, tinted lenses, and more. Do you have 20/20 vision? Great! iBuyDirect has you covered too with many sunglasses options that will allow you to express and enhance your individualized style. Do you like premium brands? I do. iBuyDirect carries Ray-Ban, Oakley, Vogue, just to name a few. Click the iBuyDirect link in our show notes and get affordable custom eyewear today. Welcome to Direct Impact, where we discuss the various ways our mental health and quality of life intersect. I'm your host, Andrea Epstein, licensed professional counselor, master's addictions counselor, and certified sex therapist. Think of our time together as focused self-reflection mixed with insight, passion, and empowerment. Now, take a deep breath. Now let's dive in and see what impacts you today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is your host, Andrea Epting, and you are listening to the watching the Direct Impact podcast. And today we are having a candid conversation, and we've been talking this week about resistance, and specifically resistance to consistency, structure, things like that. Actually, well, we were talking about it as it relates to resistance in beginning, implementing, and sustaining a journaling practice. But I think this episode really kind of goes for everything new.
Yeah.
You know, everything new. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're talking about, you know, our struggles with consistency and all that goes along with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, what do you think, Mary?
I think the first thing that comes up, like when we talked about this episode, was perfectionism.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there's a lot of moments in myself when I talk with other people, it's like when I get XYZ, like I had that realization, like coming to work one day, I was like, starting a workout or exercising. Mm-hmm. I'm like, when I look this small or when I lose X, but I'm like,
so fast backwards.
Right? It's like, how does that make any sense when what I'm trying to do is supposed to get me to that goal? Uh-huh. So when is this when ever going to happen? Like, it made me think, I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Come on. Like, when is never going to get there unless I try to do it. But I think there's that fear of like, I need to look good. I need to have the skill set, you know, now, so that way I don't look like a fool or embarrass myself in front of other people, you know.
And I think therapeutically, one of the ways we challenge those faulty beliefs, mm-hmm. you know, those faulty belief systems, is to say, well, who told me that?
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and because I'll hear myself say things like that in my head, and I'm like, who told you that? You know,
because
there's even a part of me that knows it's not coming from me.
Right.
It's coming mm-hmm. from somewhere, though.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I think therapeutically, like, we can do this with ourselves. We can say, well, who told you that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who told you needed to look or be a certain, you know, body composition
right.
before you step foot into a gym?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It makes me think too, like, I will say, like, getting the training for EMDR has helped me so mm-hmm. much to connect a lot of stuff in myself, like when we did the practice during the training and also seeing it with clients. It's like what you talk about, we challenge that, but it's so hard because our head gets it, but the other parts of ourselves, mentally and emotionally, kind of get stuck in that loop a little bit, and we can't connect what our head knows to the feelings, the emotions. It's like, no, I know I am. Okay, I can do that, but it doesn't feel that way.
Well, it's almost like your body doesn't move.
Mm-hmm.
It's like some people, a lot of my clients, and I can totally relate, they're like, it's like my shoes are filled with cement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like my shoes are filled with cement around certain behaviors, around certain things, particularly the ones that are good for me. Like
Right,
for some reason, the toxic or unhealthy things, the things that reinforce my negative core beliefs, they're pretty easy, right? And I think that's part of why resistance comes up, because we intellectually understand, but our bodies and our negative core beliefs are doing this tug of war thing.
Right.
It's like, yeah, well, you might think that, but this is what I believe. And when our thoughts and beliefs collide and clash, yeah, I think that's where we get resistance.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Because it makes me think of like that, not, I think part of self-fulfilling prophecy, but it's that thing of like, oh, here's the evidence to fit like that belief, like I really am a bad person, or look, see, I really can't do it because XYZ. And we forget the moments where we did actually do the things. And that's why I try to highlight with some clients. I'm like, take a moment, like give kudos, like what we've talked about in this whole season of that pause, that celebration. And it's interesting to see my clients and even in myself to take that pause in that moment to give ourselves those props to say, hey, you did it. You did the damn thing. It was hard. We might have felt uncomfortable,
Well, you might not have
embarrassed.
done it well. And why are you supposed to do something well the first time you do it? You're not. And again, it's challenging those thoughts. It says, well, why would I expect to do something right or well, much less perfect, when I have no experience in it? And that's one of the things, I think you're highlighting one of the things that I love about therapy, is having a trusted other, an unbiased party in the room to challenge those thoughts that you don't know to challenge. It's just not clicking that, oh my gosh, that's a lie. That's not true. Who taught me that? Why do I believe this? Where is this coming from? It's really nice to have someone who says, wait, let's challenge that thought. Let's notice maybe where that's coming from and why that might not be giving you the results you're looking for, right?
And I think it's just so hard for us because again, I go back, like you said, that intellectualizing. We say self-love, self-respect. I think we all get that at some point because I think we even talked about it with self-care. But again, it's that connecting of actually connecting with self to say, let me give myself compassion, let me give myself love. That it's so hard for us because, like you said, who taught us that? We're so used to having an environment that says maybe we're not deserving or it's too selfish, to give ourselves that.
Hey there. This is your host, Andrea. I just wanted to ask you a question. Are you interested in being on a podcast? Do you want to share your amazing story with the world? Or are you interested in hosting a podcast yourself? Well, if you are, then we really recommend Podmatch. Podmatch works to ensure that well-suited guests, hosts, and collaborators can find you. With an easy filtering process where you can either match with a potential guest or you can pass. It's that easy. Don't have a podcast? Don't worry. You can be a guest on someone else's podcast and share your story with their audience. It's just a click away. Here at Direct Impact, we love the ease of using Podmatch and all the connections that we've been able to make through their platform. If this is something that piques your interest, tap this episode. Scroll down to the bottom of our show notes and click our link, joinpodmatch.com/directimpactpodcast, to support the show. Again, that's joinpodmatch.com/directimpactpodcast. I have to highlight this because it just came up for me when you're talking, and I'm just fresh off of a Survivors weekend where I do a big Survivors workshop where people come in and they address their less than nurturing childhoods and some embodied childhood trauma. And it's so interesting how when they really do connect the dots about where those messages came from, and they do their empty chair and they're able to give back, buried shame and all of that. It's so interesting that the resistance is gone. There's no battle anymore. There's no tug of war. It's like, I knew it,
now I've released it and there's not that tug of war. I feel like, I took a hammer to those, concrete shoes I was wearing. And it's just so cool that in a day and a half, you can see that kind of transformation. Of course, these are really intense deep dives. So you can see significant change in a short period of time. But I think that is where resistance comes in. It's like, think this way, or society tells me this, but these are the beliefs and they're really hard to shake if you haven't really addressed where they come from and given them back.
I like that you bring up society because that's a question that's like going through my head is like, how do you think our society, especially with the impact of, social media, that's a big thing that influences, especially our younger generation with the comparison, TikTok influencers, how does that shift of like consistency and habits, how do you think that affects us?
I think it affects us deeply, and consistently. And when we look at big T trauma versus little T trauma, these constant little T traumas, they equal a big T trauma because it's complex, it's consistent, it's constantly reinforced. All of these negative beliefs about who we are and who we're supposed to be, and not feeling good enough, not ever, being what someone else's version of us, is, it's just ridiculous. And so this would take like days for me to describe how negative and how harmful and how hurtful it is to, yes, this generation, but anybody who compulsively engages with social media. I would say technology, but particularly with social media.
Yeah, because I even think of like the parasocial like relationships that people get with social media, not really the feeling that I know this person, a YouTuber, a famous influencer, but you really don't know them. And the connections, like the wires kind of get crossed in that. And I've seen videos that how people do get affected by that parasocial, that there becomes this obsessiveness. And even like you said, like that in core beliefs of, well, I don't look like them. Why can't I live like them? And
Or I don't make as much money as them, or I'm not as smart as them, or I'm not whatever. But here's the thing, and it kind of goes back to what you said. When we have a negative belief, we are looking every day for it to be true. Our brain is looking to prove it to some degree, right? And this is the way we're wired as human beings. Like, we can't undo that. But it's very important that we recognize that these negative core beliefs are instilled when we are very, very small people before social media or society affects us. But then society is reinforcing the negative core belief. So, I'm sorry, but like, no parents, including myself, we don't get a free pass. We didn't do the best that we could. I'm sorry. People say it all the time. You did the best you. No, not every day. Not every moment, not every season did we do the best we could. And we have to own that. And it impacts our children. And then society reinforces it and reinforces it and reinforces it. We can make amends. We can attune. We can, heal wounds. We can do all of that. But it also takes disengaging to some degree with the things that are reinforcing, right? And so, like, I have to say that, like, I think a lot of people prefer just to dump it all on society, and I am just here to burst that bubble. Like, it's not just society. Society reinforces it.
It's similar to like me and Gregory actually had this conversation, talking about limiting beliefs. And I kind of, and I don't know, maybe you can give me more insight to help, not only me, but our listeners, what came first? Is it the limiting belief or is it the environment? Or is it just kind of a combo of both, kind of like that a chicken or the egg situation?
Yes, the environment that creates the limiting belief. There are messages. Most of them are not meant to be received the way they are received, however they are. And when I say, like, we didn't do a good enough job as parents, look, we don't do things to purposefully injure the child, but we notice when they're injured. And if we don't make a repair, that's on us. And so, yes, environmentally, there are messages that are sent. And when a repair is not made, then that child is now susceptible to look to society to prove that this is correct. Because if my parent believes it, then it must be true, right? And so, I don't know if that helps, but it's environmental to that, if you're talking about a negative core belief or a message.
So then how could, you know, we talk about journaling all this through this whole season. How can we break these limiting beliefs, this perfectionism, these things that disrupt our consistency with the journaling practice?
It's one of the things that I actually like really love about the journaling practice is because if you go beyond the daily check-in, which you have permission to just do the check-in with regards to automating new behaviors, if you go beyond that and you really on a daily basis are looking at and engaging with the prompts, you really will be able to dig into that part of self that says, oh gosh, like this is an injured part of myself that was never healed. This is something my inner child still needs to believe for whatever reason. You get to look at, you know, just like, what is my need to actually buy into the bullshit? Because like, you have to have a need to buy into it, right? That comes from childhood, or you would disregard it, right? And so I do think if you engage the prompts on a regular basis, you're going to gain so much self-awareness, self-attunement, and insight into, you know, your thoughts, your feelings, your beliefs, your values, your motivations, all of those things. And that's huge for healing. I can't heal what I don't know. And a lot of people just want to heal. Okay, you cannot heal what you don't know. And this practice is taking time to know yourself. It's recovery and self-discovery. You can't have a full recovery process without learning about yourself. They go together. So,
No, I think that's an important message, you know, is that you can't heal what you don't know. And, you know, I see it in my own practice with my clients. And I think it's such a beautiful thing when we can discover, like, how that past stuff comes up in the present. I know a lot of people don't like to dredge up the past, but
it's there already. You know,
right. It's there. It's, we have to acknowledge it.
Well, we spend a lot of energy and we're talking about resistance and this is part of it. Like the resistance takes and requires a lot of energy and it takes a lot of energy to keep those blinders up. It takes a lot of energy to deny what has happened to you. It takes a lot of energy to resist yourself. I know that it's easier in the moment and it's a well-worn path because you've been doing it a long time, but it still takes a lot of energy. So it's freeing. When you let that go.
I agree. You know, denial is, it's a powerful tool, but it has its pros and cons. You know, I think we're all susceptible to that denial, but you're right. Like once we can break through that, it is a freeing thing because now I can fully love and accept myself and to say, you know, I have my downfalls, but I mean, that's the human experience. So
it sure is. And I think it's twofold too, because it's like, we need people, we need community, we need others to hold up the mirror to our blind spots that we just will not see on our own. And again, I think therapy is great for that. I think, you know, close, you know, trusted friendships are good for that. I think the rooms, 12-step programs are good for that. I think, you know, therapeutic groups and process is good for that. But it's important too that you're doing this work, but also letting community be part of that to reflect to you things that you're not willing to look at.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things that we just don't know what we don't know. We've got the blinders, so we can't look at it. That's where loving, healthy relationships come in to hold up that mirror in a way that we can hear. All right. Awesome. Well, guys, thanks for tuning in. And if you want to just listen to this, you're welcome to go to our website. It's www.lightninginabottle.biz. And we'd love for you to just subscribe to our podcast and get just our regular weekly podcast and just keep coming back. Thanks so much.
Does anyone else feel like they just earned an extra brain wrinkle? Do you feel like that went by way too fast and just cannot wait till the next episode? Then leave a review and share this episode with a friend, a loved one, a coworker, or whomever, because your valued feedback makes a direct impact.
Thank you for dropping in. Snaps to you, because you have made a direct impact by listening to this podcast. Make sure to follow us on social media and stay tuned every week for a new episode of Direct Impact with Andrea Epstein.
Here is our disclaimer and legal language. Yes, I'm a psychotherapist, but guess what? I'm not your psychotherapist, and I need to be clear that this podcast is solely for enhancement, education, and entertainment purposes only. It is in absolutely no way a replacement for professional counseling services. If you feel like you need additional support, we strongly encourage you to seek that out today. Alrighty, my friend, you know I am obsessed with health and wellness hacks, right? Using my Plan to Recover journal, I have automated over 15 new vitality-boosting behaviors over the last 3 years, and none of them have been more transformational or effortless to implement than LifeWaves Phototherapy Patch. The X39 phototherapy patches promote healing by using your body's heat to activate stem cell regeneration. How awesome is that? These tiny patches are clinically proven to restore the body to a level of health that you may not have seen in years. These patches are a result of 80 studies and over 20 years of research. X39 patches are wearable technology, easy to apply to clean skin as part of your AM routine or your PM routine. Personally, I have experienced a more youthful complexion, mobility, and energy levels that I haven't seen, honestly, in over a decade. My arthritic pain and stiffness decreased dramatically in less than 48 hours. Absolutely life-changing. Additional health benefits may include better sleep, shorter recovery times, pain relief, improved energy and vitality, reduced inflammation, and much, much more. If you want to learn more about LifeWaves X39 patches and the many other therapy patches they offer, check out our episode with Darlene Green and IamReverseAging.com. To learn more about my personal experience, check out our YouTube channel, Direct Impact Podcast. Now, don't forget, head to LifeWave.com/AndreaEpting. That's LifeWave.com/AndreaEpting to buy your patches today and support this podcast. Heads Up Guidance Services, or HUGS, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to removing all barriers to quality professional counseling services. At HUGS, all motivated individuals, couples, and families can access the support they need and deserve in an outpatient setting. They recruit dedicated, compassionate, and socially conscious professionals who volunteer their time and specialized skill pro bono. HUGS doesn't work with third-party payers, insurance companies, or government dollars. Rather, they operate entirely with the support of people just like you. To help support HUGS, visit www.headsupsavannah.org.